a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Six.
Ready? All right. Well, thank you very much, Representative Justin Cronin, District 23, North Central South Dakota, Assistant Leader in the House. Looking at our bill counts here, we're going to be very comfortable coming into crossover day next Wednesday. Our committees will all be down and finished on Tuesday. State Affairs finished up today, which we had quite a number of bills starting in the week, especially with the loss of the day. We were able to make it all up and got done early, actually. So the discussions over the last week have been kind of revolving around in the Republican caucus anyway, around strategizing for what we're going to do with one-time monies. There's $26 million, give or take, at the bottom line for 13 and 14. And that's kind of where our focus is at right now, trying to narrow down 53 different opinions to see what we can spend money on at the end of the day. And that's, as you all know, not a very easy task to take, but we've had our first couple whiteboard discussions with an actual whiteboard. With all the technology in the Capitol, it's still easier to use a pen and a board. But other than that, our appropriations hearings have just come to an end with department hearings. They'll be starting full-fledged with bills next week. On Tuesday, and I guess with that, I'll turn it over to Senator Peters. Give us an update on the Senate.
Thank you, Representative. I'm Senator Deb Peters. I represent District 9, which is Hartford, Humboldt, Crooks, Wall Lake, and the northwest corner of Sioux Falls. I chair the Appropriations Committee in the Senate. And just to kind of give an update on where the Senate is, most of our committees are finishing up today with bill loads. We've got a couple of bills outside of the Appropriations Committee that still need action on Tuesday. I believe Ag and Natural Resources has a couple of bills, and Commerce has one bill. Other than that, I think everybody else is going to clear their calendar. Senate Appropriations, we've got 24 bills calendared for hearings on Tuesday. All those bills have had a hearing, but one. And so we'll have final action on all of those 24 bills on Tuesday. So with that, I know the way our calendar looks in the Senate on the floor, we don't have any major talkers, I don't think, in the next upcoming days. But I think once we hit Wednesday, I think you're going to see a lot of discussion as far as what direction we're going to go with finances, and we're going to see a little bit more on policy as well on Wednesday. So I guess we'll stand down for questions.
Any questions? Yes.
There it is. Hi, Victoria Wicks with South Dakota Public Radio. Yesterday, or the day before, I get lost. I'm sure you do, too. I listened in on appropriations, Senate appropriations, and I heard arguments, believe, for the fifth year for expanding Medicaid to include pregnant women who can't afford, who aren't covered by any other health policy, and for prenatal care. And then today, there's a debate to make abortions more difficult to get. And I'm wondering, is this bill going to pass, and do you have any other proposals to make it easier for women to have children if they do have this unwanted pregnancy?
I can start. Thank you for the question. We did hear a bill yesterday. Actually, we've heard it continuously from a couple of weeks ago. We finished up testimony yesterday on Senate Bill 140, and that is Senator Adelstein's bill to expand coverage for pregnant women in the Medicaid program. Currently, we fund that program for individuals that exceed that hit the federal poverty level of 133%. The proposal does not give us a direct percentage as far as where that would allow the income levels to go. It's estimated to be just shy of the 175% of the federal poverty level. But the amount of money that we're talking about is about $2.6 million of general fund and $3.7 million of federal dollars. And that is going to come down to the discussion of the whiteboard discussion that Representative Cronin had spoken about. All of the caucuses get together when it comes to deciding on how we spend the budget dollars. We figure out, we put up a bunch of stuff on the whiteboard. I believe the Democrat Party does the same thing. They put up their priorities. The House Republican Caucus does their priorities, and the Senate Republican Caucus puts up their priorities. Over the next 2 to 3 weeks to wind down session, we marry up all of the priorities from the three different caucuses. This bill will probably be in part of those mixes as far as where the priorities are. If it falls to the bottom of the priority list of any one of the caucuses, then it will be that bill will be killed. But it's all part of the priority process.
And I guess just to comment, we had in State Affairs on Wednesday a bill, just trying to find the number, because like I said, 1214, Representative Hunhoff brought the bill. And we actually expanded medical care, prenatal care, for unborn children of non-citizens. And I think the testimony in committee was compelling as far as it was a huge bipartisan effort. The bill didn't have very many sponsors, but the lineup of people to testify in favor of this bill was from every angle you can think of. Of course, that also is within the 133% of poverty. They have to qualify somehow that way, and the child is the one that qualifies. The non-citizen or the illegal immigrant would not qualify for the care, but being that the child is there, we are protecting the child because everybody knows, and I would say my opinion is the bang for your buck on prenatal care is threefold. If you can get it at the right time before the child's born and help that mother through the pregnancy, so hopefully that's something that is at the bottom of the or at the end of the year in our discussions, because that is a very worthy cause. $2.6 million, and depending on how many people it would help out, is something that our caucuses will have to decide.
If I can also follow up, it's also important to note that there is a bipartisan a group of the health committees are getting together to talk about Medicaid expansion. It's important to note that if we expand the Medicaid program going around this route as far as targeting one single avenue of expansion of Medicaid, we do not qualify for the 100% payment of the federal dollars. So it's part of a broader perspective as far as how do we want to utilize those dollars. Part of the U.S. Supreme Court decision in last June said that we could choose to opt into the Affordable Care Act or opt out of the Affordable Care Act. It also stated that states would not be forced to expand Medicaid, but we were also in that decision in the decision process of that court case, the way I understand it, we cannot pick and choose which areas in which to expand Medicaid to access that 100% federal funding. So it's part of a larger conversation when we talk about Medicaid expansion, not just which groups are going to be expanded, which groups are not going to be expanded, versus if we expand the whole thing. And I know there's going to be this bipartisan organization or this bipartisan committee, I think, of both health committees of the House and the Senate working together on giving some public testimony and things like that on the expansion of Medicaid. So with that, I'll stand by for additional questions.
Are there any questions from callers on the line? Just a reminder, if you do have a question, press #6 to unmute your line.
Okay. Be greedy. I heard or read, and I hear and read so much that I can't remember where, but that nationally the GOP is looking at, instead of so aggressively going after abortion, more aggressively going after what leads to unwanted pregnancies. And I'm not sure what tactics they're looking at taking, but it seems to me that there could be some accountability for the males in these situations. Have you looked at any alternatives to preventing abortion?
As a caucus, no. Well, I guess that's a hard question for me to answer personally. Even I guess my personal beliefs would be, responsibility. But that's, you know, education responsibility. But that's a personal opinion, I guess. I'd have to think about that when I, that's kind of come off my radar. So that's a good question. And I would have to say as a general rule here in South Dakota, I don't think that's something that we've taken into consideration as of right now.
I haven't seen that conversation unfold yet here in Pierre. I probably would envision if it's happening on the national front, it'll start here as well. Just a comment on what happens with the budget when we come to, we're saving more babies this time today than we were 20 years ago. We're saving more babies than we did 50 years ago, and that does take a toll on our state budget. When you look at individuals and folks that qualify for our special ed programs, you see we're streamlining more of special ed kids into the system. We also see a huge increase in eligibility and participation in our disabled programs. So it is a discussion that needs to take place on a larger global scale, because as we save more babies, as we become more pro-life as a society, and our medical advances saves more children, it does have an effect on our state budget. So it is something that we do need to address as far as responsibility of parents.
Looks like you were thinking about one. Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to turn this into a debate. I didn't ask you how you stand on the abortion bill that is upstairs right now. It's not including weekends and holidays in the waiting period. And okay. Where do you stand on that?
House bill.
It's a House bill, but I don't know where it's at. I haven't seen it.
I have not seen it either. Well, I guess I would say... it says exactly what? Let me look here. I'm just looking for it.
I haven't even read the bill, so I can't help you with that.
It's a change to 1217, I believe, from last year. Is that the one you're talking about? I believe what they were talking about in that bill, and I stand to be corrected if need be, but was that the 72-hour waiting period that 1217 put into place, they wanted to add in weekends and holidays, weekends and special holidays, or were weekends already in there? I haven't seen the bill. I think it's in judiciary.
I did read it, and I believe, okay. And you know, just on a quick reading, I believe it. Right now, it's 72 continuous hours, and it would exclude weekends and holidays. So that if it was on a Friday, then that would maybe be one day, and then Monday and Tuesday would be the next included.
Must be 12:36. Be up for the day. I guess for me, I've always been a pro-life advocate, and I will probably support the bill, because any time you have a little more time to think about it, I think the more time you have to make a decision, I believe sometimes is the better one. So that's how I stand personally.
I'm going to wait and listen to the testimony on the proponent and opponent. Obviously, I'm very pro-life, but based on the fact that I have two children and I had two very troubled pregnancies, I fought like the devil to keep both of my children. But I want to hear the testimony on the rationalizations for bringing both bills. I have also heard the little rumblings in the hallways is that the two pro-life groups that usually bring all of the bills, I heard that there's, and again, this is all rumor in the Capitol, as you guys probably hear the same stuff, but my understanding is there isn't consensus between the pro-life groups, organizations out there, so I want to hear both sides of even the pro-life organizations as well. So I don't know if it's I haven't read the bill. I don't know anything about the bill. I only know kind of what you guys hear in the hallways as well. So I'll wait and hear testimony on it.
And then, there's another bill here. which happens to do with prohibit the recovery of damages in certain wrongful birth and wrongful life suits based upon the lost opportunity to terminate life of an unborn child. And I have not researched that very much either, so I didn't know if that was another bill that you were talking about. So, okay, yep.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it either.
That's one of the things about being here is, you know, you hear a lot about committee work, and some people believe in the committee work, committee process, as I do myself. I think committee process is vital to this organization, and some do not. This would be those cases where, you know, when you're in committee from 7:45 in the morning till noon and you hit the floor and you have no chance to talk to people about bills, and you, you know, we talk about them in caucus for a short period of time, but you don't get both sides of the stories necessarily every time. But you trust that the people in the committees are making an informed decision. I mean, you read the bills. We all read the bills, but we aren't there to ask and answer the questions. And so I guess that's, you know, I understand, you know, Senator Peters made a good point. I mean, like I said, I would probably support that the corrections to 1217, but or changes to 1217. But you know, you got to trust the committee process, and I'm a very firm believer in what the committee work does, and I'll always take a stand behind them. So
I can.
The general budget is foreseeing issues as we approach the final.
Okay, as we approach the end of session, do you anticipate any complications with the general budget? Do you think we'll go the full time the last week?
There's always issues that arise. I was just going to give you an update as far as where we were at in the process of the appropriations. We have, after today, we'll only have one more day of agency hearings. Today we're hearing from the constitutional officers as far as the state auditor, the state treasurer, the school and public lands commissioner, and the legislature with Executive Director Jim Fry. So, and then next week we hear from our last group, Public Safety and Bureau of Information and Technology. Today, when we were listening to the testimony with the state treasurer, it sounds like Bureau of Finance and Management, coupled with the state treasurer, is going to be adjusting down revenue estimates for the unclaimed property or the street property by about $10 million. When that happens, that takes away some of the increases in ongoing revenue that were put in place by the governor's budget. So we're going to have the next couple of weeks to really work with the appropriations process after, you know, we've heard all of the testimony now from all of the different agencies. Now it's up to us to figure out where the real priorities are. Obviously, the governor's outlined his priorities. Now it's going to be up to the three different caucuses. We've got the Democrat caucus, the House Republican caucus, and the Senate Republican caucus. And we'll work together and we'll figure out. After we get updated revenue estimates, we're going to work next week with the economic development folks, and then we're going to work with the week after that. We're going to start working on revenue estimates, and we're going to also be doing general bill amendments over the next 3 weeks. And I don't anticipate us getting done early because if you also know, after all of those little glitches that we've heard, the sequestration process, the federal government, if they defer farther out, we won't have a problem with our budget, but we might have to come back into a special session. If they do come down with their decisions at the end of February, March 1st, 2nd, that time frame, that will still allow us some time to review some of those findings of some of those areas and figure out how to reallocate some funds maybe there as well. So that last week is going to be a little bit chaotic as far as last week. Typically on Monday is when we're going to hear revenue estimates, I believe. That's when we kind of gauge based on the economy, where we see the revenues going, and then we weigh all of the priorities of the governor, all of the priorities of the different caucuses, and that's when we will start putting together the budget. So I don't anticipate us getting out early based on all of the variety of different moving parts we have going on right now.
I think if everything would go easy and smooth in Pierre on the last week of session, no one would ever want to be back here again, because that means we're not doing our work. And there's always disagreements at the end, and I remember my father always telling me, when both people walk away from a deal and they both feel slighted, you've got something going. And I think that's kind of the way it works around here all the time, both in the majority and the minority. I do have to say, I just have to comment about the processes of a lot of moving parts this year, with working with Bernie and Jason Ferrix and the respective caucuses has been outstanding. And I want to extend to them their appreciation of how they have been upfront with us and us in the same actually to an unprecedented level since I've been here in my short 4 years. We have really worked together on a lot of different issues, from economic development to education. So I guess with that, are there any other questions? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.